There's a brand new groundbreaking study that studied 11,196 couples, and they found out that there is essentially the largest part of the idea of relationship satisfaction is explained by
gifts.
No.
Oh. Compliments.
No. Gonna get to it here in just a minute.
You know what we're about to do? We're about to get real. We're about to have conversations that Christians have behind closed doors. That's where we're going. Why? Because we're family. Ustedes son mi familia.
So this is the Brian and Janelle podcast. She's Janelle and I'm Brian. If you don't want to miss anything, all you have to do is just hit that subscribe button to get a notification whenever we drop a new episode. This is the Brian and Janelle podcast.
Okay, so I've been fascinated by this groundbreaking study, is what it's called, by the Institute for Family Studies. It looked at data over a long period of time. So it's a longitudinal study of 11,196 couples. And there's so many different aspects of this. I'm grabbing different parts of it to look at. So you look at all these couples over a long period of time. And one of the things researchers tried to figure out is, like, what determines your satisfaction with your marriage relationship? Like how good you feel about it.
Yeah. Before you saw this, what did you think it was?
I don't know that I spent much time psychoanalyzing how I would determine how well my relationship's going. I would just want to, I don't know. I mean, okay. How did you do it? Do you have an answer to that?
The first thing I would think, what would determine satisfaction in marriage is, does he love me in my love language? So whatever it's like for That's everybody, good. It would be different, but I think it would be all about us. It would, like, for me, it would be, oh my goodness, that means we would be talking all the time and spending time together. Where if you ask a man, it would be something different, but I'm taking into consideration personality. So it would probably be aligned with someone's love language.
Well, and I think we'd all tend to probably figure it out from our own lens, right?
Right.
In my perspective, you know, is she loving me in my love language? Is she spending time with me? Mm-hmm. Does she like me?
Yeah, right.
Is she annoyed by me a lot of times or not? Does she have that look on her face wives have, you know, when they're like happy, you know?
Right. That's the key. Is she happy?
And we care if you guys are happy, but I know men are big on it.
Like I brought home for Sarah these keto desserts. I don't even know what that means, but she wanted them and I brought them home. Aww. And the look on her face when she eats that, like... That's a happy wife.
Oh, that's cool.
But they also have those looks, Ron, where it's like, uh-oh, I did something. Yeah. And then you kind of go, I don't know what I did.
Oh, yeah.
What did I do?
Then you're wishing that Josh would call you back to work real quick.
So based on what we're saying, are we lining up with the thing that determines whether or not you have satisfaction?
Not at all.
No? Oh, okay. Well.
No. So, a groundbreaking study is what the Institute for Family Studies called it. It's longitudinal over a long period of time, looking at 11,196 couples, trying to figure out what makes up relationship satisfaction in your marriage, where you feel like contented and satisfied with your relationship. Mm-hmm. There's a number of different aspects to this. But one of the things they tried to figure out and that they did determine was that a large part of the story of relationship satisfaction is explained by how satisfied or committed you believe your partner to be.
Mm-hmm.
As Joel and Eastwick, the researchers, say in their paper, these results are consistent with the idea that people project their own relationship perceptions and behaviors onto their partners. So bear with me here. I think this keeps getting more clear. That's mind-altering data, this article says. A closely related possibility is that we evaluate our own relationship in some large measure based on how we think our partner experiences it. In other words, it's possible that a big part of our own relationship satisfaction might be based on how happy we believe our partner is being with us. Mm. Which actually, now that I think about it, is kind of like what Ron said.
Yeah. I like the how much we believe they're happy. Because they might not be. They're just putting on a good face. And we don't see it. But we, what we see is we think they're happy. And so that's
how we assume it's all good.
Yeah.
Or the opposite problem can take place where when you're married to someone like Janelle is or like I am, they're internal processors.
Yeah.
And so you can tell they're thinking about something and dealing with something. And my assumption is always what?
Oh, it's you.
It's about me.
Hell, yeah.
I did something.
Yeah.
And so this really plays out for me in a sense that my measure of how well our marriage is doing is based on how happy I think Sarah is. Mm-hmm. But notice the difficulty here is it's based on how we perceive it, not how it actually is.
Yeah. What do you think that's about?
It's troubling, right? That we perceive the health of our marriage based on how we think our partner is doing, not on how they actually are.
Yeah.
And I see kind of two branches of that. One is maybe our partner is got a good poker face, so to speak, and is bluffing, you know, oh, everything's fine, while inside they're wasting away.
Yeah.
Or maybe we are so dense that we're missing the signs that she's given us, and we're just like, oh, everything must be fine, you know. Haven't seen things. Just because we're not seeing them doesn't mean they're not there.
Or add the layer that Len's going through something stressful at work and he just doesn't want to bring it home, but he can't help it.
Yeah. I experienced that a lot. And so it's good intent. He doesn't want to worry me. But then, like you said, it's hard to separate. Is it stress? Is it me? And then as life gets more complicated, you have children. There's mental health issues for anyone at any time. Like there's, of course, the depression and other things. But then there's seasons where you're down. And so how have you separated the two?
I just think it stresses the importance of continually improving your ability to communicate in marriage.
Yeah.
Okay.
Amen.
Because, I mean, what a horrible thing for your spouse that you are basing your, not you, but just a person in general, is basing their entire measure of marriage satisfaction based on how they think you feel, not how you actually feel. That's terrible.
Yeah. But whatever is going on in their life impacts how they receive what you do or say, how they interact with you. So even if the person says, no, it's not you, it's difficult sometimes to not receive it and believe it because life is messy. There is no straight line when it comes to emotion and struggles.
So then that goes to the point of, I understand, and I bet Ron does too, and I'm sure you do, that you don't always want to take stress home. You don't have any stress here, Janelle, obviously.
None at all, right. You make life easier.
But you don't want to bring that home and burden your family with it.
Yeah.
And yet if you don't, your spouse has nothing left to do but maybe be less satisfied with your marriage because they think that you're unhappy with them. So doesn't that mean you shouldn't hide things that are stressful from work? Like Len should come home and be like, sit down, Janelle.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you about all these crazy people I work with.
Yeah.
And if you work with Len and you're listening, all of you are great. None of you are crazy.
Right.
He's never said that. Everybody's awesome. Yeah, that's my feeling because I've told him I want to share your burdens. He wants to rescue me from them and just like, we got enough burdens right here at the house. Mm. But I agree in terms of, in that sense, becoming one flesh, not just asking the person, but making sure that on your part, you're sharing whatever is going on, if the kids are driving you crazy, if you're worried about your mom, or if you're simply like, man, life is tough and I'm just like, I feel like I'm depressed. Like sharing that so that you don't leave the other person guessing. And I'll speak from over here. I'm calling out the ladies because I think we do that a lot. We have men guessing.
Well, but let's just take Len's scenario.
Yeah.
Or mine. You never stress me out, of course.
Never. Woo!
But I mean, if I were to go home and Sarah's like, are we okay? I mean, oh, no, don't worry, honey. It's not you. It's just work. What about work? Oh, don't worry about it. Nah, that's not a fair response. I have to go, listen, Janelle is driving me nuts.
Yeah,
again.
Yeah.
Here's what she did today.
That girl's tripping.
But you see, like, because what would Sarah do other than guess whether that's actually true or not?
Yeah.
And I know, I mean, Christian couples, we shouldn't lie to each other, but for goodness sakes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because again, this is a difficult truth to grapple with, this idea that our own relationship satisfaction might be based on how happy we believe our partner is with us, man, communication matters.
Yeah,
doesn't
it? Does.
It? Yeah. And there's more in the study for us to look at in a few minutes as well. So, groundbreaking study, and this summary I've got from the Institute for Family Studies. Again, over 11,000 couples.
Yeah.
And the author of this particular analysis of all the data, at the end, he says, for those of you who are married, the advice I have is based on this research is a bit different. He said, do not spend a lot of time wishing your partner was different on things like personality or education or political views. Focus instead on
personality?
Yeah.
I'll take the other ones, but okay. So what do we focus on instead? Sorry.
No, that's okay. Focus instead on what you can do to make the dynamic between the two of you as good as it can be. That's going to mean looking for levers you can pull to make a difference, not waiting around for your partner to change. As in, essentially, this person is saying, based on all the research, stop trying to change your spouse.
Okay, so I reacted to the personality thing because
I was nodding.
Yes,
over there.
Yeah.
He thinks that we can't see because it's the radio.
I know.
Ron was nodding.
It. So first, share your initial reaction. Were you like, man, some smart people doing this test?
He didn't want to answer that. Dana, stop changing me.
Yeah. I think changes forced on you don't stick, and they cause resentment. So if you want your husband, in my case, or your wife, to change, got to be careful how you go about doing that. It's got to be his thought, or at least he has to think it's his thought. And I know you women are good at trying to manipulate that. But yeah, just.
No, please. No, please.
Maybe I've said enough.
Okay. Where's the line? Because there's personality, and then there's what some of us, men or women, think, no, dude, like, you really need to change that. That's a problem. So can we start there?
That sounds like such a wife thing.
No, I can give you examples. Like, so let's say you need to be more patient, or you need to spend less money and stop being so, like, you deliver
but
it nicely, more like... There's ways to express
it. Isn't there an assumption, though, in saying you need to be more patient? Why don't you speed it up a little bit? Couldn't that also be a solution?
Okay, so, babe, we're late wherever we go all the time. This is not going to work. It's affecting the kids. It's affecting,
this sounds
like,
personal,
church.
Yeah.
No. Lens, I'm giving you examples in terms of, can we first determine how... Are we just going to live life and just say, no, you be you. You don't got to improve. Everything's good. I'll just accept you.
I think there's a challenge there, especially for a believer, right? Because maturity in Christ requires more and more conformity towards Christ, which, ergo, that's change, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And when you look at the biblical definition of love, right? It's patient, it's kind, it doesn't boast, doesn't keep record of wrong.
Yeah.
Ladies, doesn't keep record of wrong. Let me just,
wow,
again,
just the ladies,
not keep
y'all?
Record of wrong.
Just,
But. Do you see, like, we need to do those things. We need to continually change to more conform like Christ, right?
Right.
But Ron's point is that you ought to be doing that yourself. It's not going to help to have someone else do it for you. Isn't that your point, Ron?
Yeah. But I could see, like, in the case that Janelle presented, if you don't bring it, like, with the, babe, we're always late everywhere we go,
the
hyperbolic language.
Yeah.
But instead, maybe you're on your way to a birthday party and, you know, you can tell we're already going to be a half hour late. And it was specifically everyone else was ready except that one person. Maybe then you could kind of point out, if you didn't have to watch the last 10 minutes of that basketball game or whatever it was that delayed him, then we'd be there on time.
Yeah.
And this is an ongoing thing with us. If he can see the one example that's obvious right there, then maybe it would help him to change.
And yet, what if he doesn't value punctuality?
He's an islander.
But you
I
see
know
what
my
I mean?
Filipino friends were always that way.
Yeah, and like my friends from West Africa.
Yeah, islander right here. Dominicans can be like that.
They would, like, my friends from West Africa would laugh at Americans all worried about showing up somewhere on time.
Yeah.
In Northeast Ohio, if you're not 10 minutes early, you're late.
Yeah. There's the sinful things that we should change that create problems
sure.
in our marriage.
Yes.
And then there's personality. sometimes we confuse the two. So can you help me? Because as a couple, we want to grow. As a couple, there's therapy because maybe one person sees, man, there's areas that we have to work on. And it seems like the message of this study is, no, whoever you're married to, accept who they are. That's who they're going to be. So there's nothing to talk about.
New research is indicating that you really shouldn't spend much time trying to change your spouse. Their personality, their education, their political views. You should just focus instead, the research says, on, you know, how to just work together and make the person feel valued and listen.
Yeah.
Is that biblical?
Valerie and Grafton, what do you think? Is it biblical?
Yes, amen. I've been married for 29 years. I've been with my husband for 35 years. And I just want to be real and just say I went through a Job experience. Don't recommend it, but it was very beneficial. And we tend to get all wrapped up on some really stupid things with our spouses. And a lot of times, the problem isn't with your spouse, it is with you. And I'll just use this analogy. It's like your canoeing thing.
Yeah.
It was you. It wasn't that bad, you know.
Yeah.
We always look at things as black and white.
Right.
And a lot of times, if we are truly honest, we live in the gray. And we expect our spouse to be different or whatever, but the problem is with us. You mentioned about going to a party. I don't care if I show up late. If my spouse holds me back and that's who he is, that's fine. But if it's a surprise party, yeah, I will be on him like white is on rice for that. But other than that, at the end of the day, is it really going to matter? And your spouse is going to be different than you because it would be horrible to live with somebody exactly like you because your spouse fills in all the things you're not good at. You may not be good at money, but your spouse is, and vice versa. I just have learned it doesn't really matter. It doesn't mean that me and my husband have it all together, but there are just times I just don't care. That's what I would say. When I heard this, I said, focus on you. How can you be a better spouse to your husband? And maybe being a better spouse to your husband, and my sister told me this, and I'm like, no, is sometimes shutting your mouth and not saying anything and giving that person some mercy and grace. We have this view that we're never going to have friction in our marriage or we're not going to disagree. You can disagree to agree or, you know, agree to disagree on some things. But at the end of the day, whatever it is, doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't matter, then lighten up. You married this person for obviously you love them and they have good reasons. And go to God. God can help and change your view on things.
Yeah.
And you don't know, your spouse could be late and be doing that stuff for something in their childhood.
Mm-hmm.
It might not be intentional. It could be their flaw. So I've just learned to try not to harpen and just sit there and keep quiet.
And you know what, sister? It sounds like you agree with that research pretty dramatically. I don't know if Janelle is 100% there with her, though.
I think there's danger if we don't unpack it correctly, because the feeling that I'm getting is there could be somebody listening that has concerns in their marriage, and our message is, no, you just accept the person for who they are. And where I'm going is there are valid things that a person's thinking, no, listen, some of the problem is not me. It's like straight up partly them. And in order to resolve it, we need to either talk to a third person. And I'm not talking about, I used a bad example in terms of being late, although that's an issue that you might want to bring up and work on. But let me give you other examples. If you feel like your spouse is very critical, if you feel like they don't pay attention to you and it's a pattern, pay attention to you when you're talking. If you feel like your partner isn't putting energy into the relationship, you could do what Valerie says, which is what it sounds like we're saying. just accept them for who they are. It's their personality. They grew up that way. Maybe their parents' marriage was that way. Versus, man, no, these are valid concerns that if I don't bring up in years to come, you could have a spouse that could say, wow, I never knew you had that concern. So how are we going to work on anything if you never bring it up?
Wouldn't the question be more how you bring it up, though?
But I asked you, how do you make, what? Where's the line in terms of, no, that's who they are. They grew up that way. That's just their personality versus, no, you have valid concerns for your marriage. And maybe there could be a point where you could say, why don't we go talk to someone that can help us grow? What you're saying is, no, just accept your circumstances and let it be. And that doesn't encourage growth in marriage or in a person.
Yeah, but I think the point of the research and what Valerie's saying is that I don't think she's saying you don't say something, but what's your goal? To express how your feelings were hurt or to change the person?
Okay, I see.
No, you need to do this differently now.
Yeah.
Versus when you did this, it hurt me. Right? I think there's a difference there.
Yeah.
It's subtle, but it's there.
I see.
And it reminds me actually, and I'm not saying this is you by any means,
yeah,
but I remember from both being in high school and teaching in a high school,
mm-hmm,
that teenage girls, when they start to date, have this tendency to date the bad boys.
Yeah.
Why?
And try to change them.
To change them.
Yeah.
Is that perhaps a consistent thing, like a gender proclivity, that women tend to just want to change people? Or is that just a teenage girl thing? I don't know. I'm asking.
I think there are women that struggle with that. I think it is a human thing to try to change people in marriage. That is a thing with women, and not all women. But yes, the savior complex, and I can change him, very much that happens.
And then also you need to do this differently because it's a problem in our relationship versus when you do this, I feel this way. Can we work on this together?
Right.
Is there a difference there, or am I making up a difference, Ron?
I don't know, because I have seen that before with the girl going after the bad boy, that you think, why waste your time? But, you know, it's because the potential payoff, everyone would love me because I was able to bring him out of the gutter.
And he's so nice on the inside.
Yeah.
He's mean to me on the outside, but.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the extreme. But if we bring it into marriage and you marry a man that's great and you love him and he's a hard worker, and let's say he has the tendency to, there's guys that joke around a lot, mm-hmm, and it's joking that can be hurtful, but to a guy, it's like, ha ha, funny.
Right.
That's something that needs to change.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? That's not like, well, you're just trying to be a savior complex and this is who I am. No, like, we got to work on this. It's wrong and you have to change
it. Your wife is not one of the boys.
Yeah. And so that's what I'm saying about being careful to draw a line. There's personality, but then there's other things. If you're in a marriage, if I'm doing, we got to deal with it and it has to come up. I would hate for Len to have the attitude of, oh, I'm just accepting Janelle for who she is. That's not growth in a marriage.
But isn't there a difference between what you did when you joke that way hurts my feelings and makes me uncomfortable,
yeah,
versus sit down, you're not funny. We got to find,
absolutely,
a way for you to change this. I am not one of the boys.
Absolutely, yeah. But it still needs to come up. There's text coming in. This person says, as long as the couple has a strong foundation and share morals and values together, then let the little stuff go. You can't change your spouse in a sense of how they are or who they are. I've seen this with family members. They wish their spouse was more helpful around the house, for example, more present. So now the complaints that he is the only one that does all the cooking and cleaning. He struggles with this as they see different views with this. He is overwhelmed with life because they don't have the same views and morals.
We got a lot of people texting in to agree with Janelle, which is fantastic. So here's my challenge. You're telling me on one hand that there are certain things that you just shouldn't try to change in your spouse, as this research,
yes,
indicates. But all,
yeah,
I'm hearing is all the things a spouse needs to change. So what's the line?
That's what I asked you. Don't take my question. I asked you that in the beginning. I said, how do you differentiate?
Well,
because we can't have a marriage,
you know,
where we say, no, just let the person be.
To tell you certain aspects I think that maybe shouldn't have to change.
So
and every
football
time.
Football all day long?
And every time you tell me those things don't,
okay,
have to change. So here's what I'm trying to figure. I'm trying to find where that line is. And you're saying everything has to change.
I didn't say everything. I gave you examples.
So what I want to hear is...
I gave you a valid example from my husband.
I would love to hear from you, though. You're my dear friend. I would love to hear from you something that
a spouse
would not have to change.
Easy. I'll give you...
Oh, I can't wait. Yeah. We're going to get to it here in just a minute. So we've been looking at this research that's reported by the Institute for Family Studies. And is that what it's called? Institute for Family? Yeah, Institute for Family Studies. They surveyed over 11,000 couples over a long period of time to find out information about relationship satisfaction. One of the takeaways from the secular source that we're trying to evaluate from a biblical perspective is that the writer of the summary says, do not spend a lot of time wishing your partner was different on things like personality or education or political views. Focus instead on what you can do to make the dynamic between the two of you as good as it can be. That's going to mean looking for levers you can pull to make a difference, such as listening more to your partner or being more emotionally supportive, mm-hmm. not waiting around for your partner to change. And what Janella and I are trying to figure out is we both agree with the presupposition as well, is that Christians actually change. As we mature in our relationship with Jesus, we conform our lives more like him.
Yeah.
If we're inherently sinners, that means we have work to do.
Right.
And we're always going to have work to do.
Right.
So like in fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, all that stuff, all of us can probably work on. And so therefore, we need to change in those areas,
yeah.
get better at them, right? But we also agree with this presupposition, I think, as well, that there's some truth in what this person is saying, is
yes.
that you shouldn't spend a heck of a lot of time trying to make your partner change.
Mm-hmm.
So where's the line between something that legitimately in your relationship needs a tune-up? Like, let's just say, for the sake of fairness, your wife comes home from work every day, puts her feet up on the recliner and doesn't do anything. You got to address that.
Yeah.
That's not an issue of her personality. That's just leave it alone.
Right.
There's a place that needs to change. But what I'm trying to figure out is what's that line? What are the things
right.
that we leave alone?
That's what I asked
and
you
earlier. And you're trying
earlier.
To change a lot of
That's
stuff.
What I asked you earlier. Where's the line? Because like Alyssa says from Cuyahoga Falls, yes, Janelle, and I still think there are certain things that quote unquote need change now. For example, anger turning into violence against families and pets. And a lot of men play anger off as their personality or childhood habits. I know anger and violence is more extreme, but there are things that someone can say, well, that's just who I am. That is like the other person can say, no, dude, like that's actually not a personality thing. And it's something that we need to work on so that our marriage can grow. And so when you make a blanket statement of just accept their personality, then we got to define how do you know the difference? We're differing about it. But in a marriage, you could have a husband and spouse saying, no, it's my personality. No, it's actually something you should work on.
So what is an aspect of personality that Janelle can leave alone or that a wife
so
could leave alone?
So an example, Len, for me, Len's an introvert. And so I know there were times when we first got married, me being an extrovert, that maybe that was a source of frustration. Come on, let's go and let's go do. And there were times, in fact, when we're talking about introverts, there were years where I loved having people over and having big dinners. And he was very supportive and would do, but it just stresses him out and because I would do it a lot. And I had to kind of back away and slow it down. Instead of trying to change him, I reduced the frequency. And if I, because I'm still an extrovert, want to spend time, I would say, oh, let's meet at a restaurant. Or I would have those experiences in other ways so that I can accommodate his personality. He's very much detail-oriented. I'm not. And so I'm finding ways that he complements me there and things I can learn. And are you satisfied with those examples in terms of introvert versus we got to work on, this is definitely not Lynn. You get home and you sit around all day because maybe that's what you saw your father doing, but I need help at home. And we have kids and I have a baby and I'm like, I need help. That would be difficult for me to say, well, Janelle, that's just who he is. That's Len.
Well, I think your best example is the introversion one.
Okay.
Because I think a lot of couples spend a lot of time fighting, trying to change the other person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially if you married an extrovert. Like, really, in some sense, if you try to press Len to be an extrovert all the time, you're hurting him.
Yeah.
You knew that was something that was the case when you married him. And so, in some sense, it sounds harsh, but it's like, you married him.
Yeah.
You made a choice.
Yeah.
I think that's a fair analysis, but I think there's a lot of gray area here, too, though. Like, for example, when Sarah was home with the kids, right? Super stressful. And then I was the breadwinner, super stressful. And when there was a time when I would get home and immediately she'd meet me at the door with a list of things I'm doing for the kids and a list of,
yeah,
I needed a minute. I wasn't trying to go put my feet up and do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't assuming she wasn't doing anything, but I needed a minute to relax.
Yeah.
So who has to change?
If you're acknowledging, yeah, that's something I have to change, because even Valerie's asking, can we define personality? So you're acknowledging that's not personality, that's something I should change. Who has to change? I think there's conversation and there's the middle. There's, babe, you know, I really need help. And you're thinking, yo, I need a minute. So then you come up with a compromise. Okay, cool. Like, how much do you need in terms of time and a minute? And then you ask her, what exactly is it that you need me to do?
Sure.
You know? For example, with me, Len, his house, his mother's house always looked like Martha Stewart, always. I can't meet that, and my household's just different. But I have asked him, when you come home, what are the top three things that you're like, if you just do this, I'm good? You see the middle? Like, I can't do your mama because I'm not your mom,
mm-hmm.
but I want to please you. So please be specific on what three things would just help me. And I think it's conversation. No, it starts off with the person saying, it's not personality. I do need to change. And then talking about it. What does it look like on both sides? And I think there's compromise.
I think so, too. But it just sounds to me like you're pressing up against the advice and the research a lot more than you're agreeing with it. I mean, because the person summarizing this is saying, stop trying to change your spouse and really don't spend much time doing that.
Okay.
Accept their personality, their education, their political views. And it's not here nor there. It's not good or bad. But you just seem to kind of be saying, wow, as Christians, we need to be much more concerned about change. And I think that's possible that could be the case.
Maybe. Right now, we're talking about relationship satisfaction and what's the main thing, the largest part that would explain relationship satisfaction in marriage. And the one thing is letting the other person be who they are, accepting their personality. And Brian and I, are we agreeing or disagreeing?
I mean, you're exceptionally annoyed with me, but we're...
Wow.
I think we're traveling down a road where we're really close in terms of what we're thinking. But you're leaning, I think, more towards the research really not being a good fit for Christians, which is okay.
And my main concern is, let's just define personality. And in every marriage, it'll be different, right? And so making sure we separate, this is who you are, and this is, and even for, especially for yourself, this is what we need to work on to grow. But I like this text that just came in response to this conversation. It says, hello, Brian and Janelle. This is from Leo in Valley City. I really like the conversation you guys are having. It's a very dear subject to me and my wife. We feel that the Lord has taught us a lot in this area. I believe there is an issue you can bring up to your spouse. We have a rule when doing that. Focus on their actions and my feelings. But the research says that we should focus less on change needed. I wholeheartedly agree. You should be way more focused on their strengths rather than where their issues are. People are much more able to grow from encouragement rather than nagging. The Bible has a lot to say about nagging, and also we are commanded to love like Christ. He doesn't nag. He does address things, but he doesn't nag. Change can't happen unless we're loved just as we are. Also, prayer should be our number one response.
What's your take on that? There's no question of how I feel about that. What do you think?
Yes, I know you love it. I agree.
The way you said that.
Well, because you have this thing with women and the things that we have to focus on, and you love the scripture that says about women nagging and the
roof.
Well,
no, but he didn't even say women. He said marriage.
No, but
said
I know
marriage.
That you were feeling that because you bring up about women nagging a lot. So I agree, and I think there are ways. Nagging is a lot about tone. And I will insert timing.
Mm-hmm.
So like even when we talked about being late, I've learned from my mistakes, not to bring up that concern while we're driving to the place that we're late to.
Okay.
You know, like, at least in my marriage, that's just, it will be received as nagging. It won't really create change. And what I've seen my parents do that I think is awesome, and they did it with us and they did it as a couple, they have a time where they talk about, you know, something happened 2 weeks ago and it really bothered me, and then they talk about it versus on the spot versus when you just did something. So that's where I agree with this person. Well, you can bring it up and you don't want to nag and you want to focus on the encouragement. But I'm speaking especially to people, I've seen it. There are marriages that are not like Brian and Sarah or Janelle and Len. And when there are valid issues, and maybe it could be an issue where you're like, man, maybe we should go get help, bring it up. Just be mindful of how you do it and your timing. But I think it's valid to say, babe, like, this is a pattern. You've been doing it. It hurts me. And we have to work on it. And of course, that's assuming that you're starting with things you have to work on. But I don't think there's anything wrong with pointing out things that your spouse needs to change. And how do you determine that? That's where I brought up the question of there's personality and then there's
But see, Leo's struggles. Not saying that, though.
Okay, what is he saying?
Leo is saying you definitely ought to bring stuff up when it bothers you, mm-hmm. but you ought to bring up actions and how they make you feel, not you
yes.
need to change.
You're right. I agree.
It's a very different thing, demanding yeah. change from someone versus telling them how their actions made you feel.
Right.
But Leo's saying it's better and more effective in the long run to not do that. Do that when you have to.
Yeah.
But focus on encouragement, because encouragement
that.
Changes yeah. people more than correction.
I love that.
You yeah. agree with that?
Yeah, I agree.
Look at that.
That's awesome.
Whoa. But why are you still annoyed?
I'm not. Oh, okay. I'm not annoyed.
Because honestly, when you hear Dr. Gary Chapman talk about this and Julie Slattery talk about this, the biblical model, which is the ideal, and we all strive towards it, is actually, I don't focus on changing you. I focus on changing me, and you focus on changing you, and we'll both get better. As I understand it, right? Isn't that the concept in Ephesians 5 of we submit to one another?
Mm-hmm.
It's like self-analysis and yielding in your own self. Not compelled to do so by right. someone else.
In general, yes, I agree. I'm speaking
That's the utopian idea.
That's exactly.
The biblical idea.
Exactly. I just want to be mindful that not all marriages look like me or the ones that surround me. There are a lot of marriages where people are feeling ignored, where people feel neglected, where people are lazy, men and women, and not helping and really like...
Leo's point is that the better way to fix it is not by saying, you never do anything around here. It's by saying, hey, when you took out the trash the other day, man, that relieved some stress for me. Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a distinctly different approach that yeah. really promotes change and makes somebody want to do something versus somebody defend themselves.
Right.
And it's a hard thing to accomplish.
Yeah.
So what's the takeaway, Janelle?
I think delivery matters. Of course.
But
I mean,
we have a lot of experienced marriages telling us here today that just let the little things go. And isn't there in some
little
sense,
little is
like,
relative. Yeah. Not helping around the house, let's say when you got a house full of toddlers and newborn,
sure.
to a man,
right.
that's relative. So that's sure. where I want to be careful in marriage to just say, let the person be. That all depends. Who is that person? How much is it bothering you?
No, I think there's truth in that.
Yeah. But delivery, I get it, what you're saying, how you say it matters.
But what about the wife, for example, who saw when they were dating that he watches a lot of football, saw when they were engaged that he watched a lot of football, and suddenly he needs to stop watching so much football?
If we both, on both sides, deliver it correctly and have an open mind to say, you know what, I don't got it together. I have to be open for my spouse to tell me areas that I have to change. I think that's the process of becoming one flesh. It's a give and take. Hey, hold up. Where are you going? You know you liked your time with us. You want more. So look down, hit that button right there, subscribe, and you'll get updated episodes, and then you can hang some more.
And guess what? You can help us. How? A 5-star rating.
You can also hang with us live, weekday 6 to 9 a.m. Interact with us, talk with us. Download the Moody Radio app.
Or at brianandjanelle.org.
And we don't put all this together all by ourselves. There's some great people behind all this production. We want to thank Ron Eastwood, Kelly Ryder, Paul Carter, Doug Hayner, Mike Reynolds,
and our awesome and fearless leader, Josue Villa.
And finally, this podcast is a production of Moody Radio in Cleveland, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.
Well, Brian, that's a wrap.
Yep.